Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for Banal of America
of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules, and at the end of the day, my friends, no comparison. And there's no stopping this freight train. 5 weeks in a row, BOA Audio Season 10 continues onward here with another edition of the program. First time I think we've been doing a show since we launched the season where it's still light out. Early in the evening. I should have scheduled for later. I'm really jamming this one in. But I'm really excited about it because I'm expecting a lot of laughs tonight and a lot of fun because our guest is Marie D. Jones, and I was looking into it. It's actually wrong last week when I was talking about this interview. Marie's been on the show since BOA Audio Season 2. So this is her ninth time on the show, and the first time we ever did an interview, I looked it up, was February 6th, 2007. So we've been talking to Marie Jones here on BOA Audio for over a decade, and when I was putting together the list for Season 10 guests, she was a no-brainer. She was obviously on the list. So I'm looking forward to it. We're going to just essentially have sort of a fringe science jam session catch-up. It's been a couple years since we talked to her because of the weird hiatus here last year, and she's got a bunch of stuff coming up, and she's working on a million things. She's got a new book coming up in the fall, Demons, the Devil, and Fallen Angels, that she co-wrote with our old buddy Larry Flaxman. She's also got a new book coming out in July called The Power of Archetypes, and a re-release of Super Volcano, which she co-wrote with her father. So lots going on, and of course, lots going on in the world, and I'm dying to talk to Marie Jones about all that. So, Marie, welcome back to the program. Thank you for all the years of fantastic conversations, and here's to one more for Season 10.
I've seriously been on 9 times? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel old.
Oh, no.
No, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. I really do. Your show is one of my favorites because we can just let it all hang out.
Exactly.
You know, talk about anything, not censor.
No, there's no censorship on this show. Yeah,
no censorship.
Yeah. We can do whatever we want. It's going to be great. And like I said, you got a lot going on here. I got to give you credit, though, for this is, I don't know if anyone's ever said this to you, but this Facebook is like a cesspool now. It's awful, and it's a horrifying place, and I hate it. And the only bright spot of my day on Facebook is Marie Jones. She posts, like, the funniest shit. She's just, like, an endless stream. It's like a comedy channel, folks. If you're not friends with Marie Jones, you are seriously missing out. Because I'll be, like, scrolling through and be like, Trump, 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 Trump. Then it'll be, like, funky picture of, like, a dude in the 70s with a terrible mustache that's awesome. Like, half the shit you pop out, I'm like, where did you fucking find that thing?
I know. I get that a lot.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I do it just as much for myself. I guess I've gotten quite a reputation now for, you know, strange posts. And I mean, I have so many friends that are just depressed or they're fighting the politics and all the bullshit. And so it's like, you know what? Here. Here's a picture of a donkey's ass. And, but when I'm writing, I get so intense that I have to take a lot of breaks, especially if I'm researching. And so that's like how I blow up steam. Otherwise, I think I'd kill somebody. I'll find, you know, the funniest, kitschy stuff, and, oh, I got to share this. And seems to strike a nerve. But I think people appreciate the humor. There's so much crap on there now. And my son, he's like, Mom, Facebook, you should be on Instagram. And I am on Instagram, but all people do is, like, post pictures of their feet. And
what?
Like, but they have for it's disgusting.
Who's posting foot pictures? Jesus.
Women that just had manicures, although, you know, their feet look like they never washed them. And,
My goodness.
Or here's a bacterial wound that I have. You know, look at the pus.
Oh, God.
Yeah, seriously. Otherwise, it's their food that they have to eat.
Yeah, it's a lot of food. It's a lot of food.
But, yeah, so I post on there, and I end up just posting crap. I mean,
I've
I
taken
don't
a real liking to Twitter lately.
Book.
I kind of like
that. I love Twitter, and I'm not on it as often as I used to be. But I love it. It's just so fast-moving. And you actually, I think, get more news in that format than you do on Facebook. Facebook is a lot of opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Spin and fake news and, you know, the right and the left both bullshitting each other. And
it's great.
And, you know, and then it's all personal, people telling personal stuff. But
oh, God, yeah, I don't get these people. Some of them post shit that's like, I don't care. I don't want to know, like, that your girlfriend is a bitch and whatever, you know? They, like, you know, or your boyfriend's an asshole or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like they just post shit where it's like, well, Billy fucking left and he took the cat. And
yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to, you know, and it's like, how
and
am
then
I
5 days later, they've got in a relationship with someone new.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
A writer, I totally appreciate it, though. I observe everything about everybody. I'm just sort of, you know, I just swallow it up. Because as a writer, that's great fodder for stories and ideas. And but I do think that people need this outlet, you know, to vent about their lives. And I think that's why it's so successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, people said, oh, after a couple of years, it'll die out. I think it might someday soon, better way to sort of express themselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't think so. So
now,
that part of it I get.
Yeah, yeah. It's very strange, you know?
It is. And, yeah, I don't need to know about your – I don't post any relationship stuff at all. Now and then I might joke about it.
My other pet peeve is, like, you know, it's probably because I have no, it's not. I think everybody is like this. Everybody becomes, like, they have this warped sense that they're, like, a public figure, so they have to have a response to shit when it, like that awful bombing in Manchester. I've kind of gotten over this like, compulsion, but so many people, you know, you have to go on and be like, oh,
I didn't say a word about it this time. When I first was on Facebook, I was just like you're describing.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed to respond to everything. And now it's like, you know, it doesn't require my response.
Exactly.
You don't want to know my response.
Right, right.
And F-U-C-K, the thoughts and prayers, because they don't do jack shit. Excuse my French. But
it's funny. It's just, it's so annoying. Like, it's like, I've got to issue a statement about this. It's like, no,
yeah.
You don't have to issue a statement about this, whatever, any event.
Issue a statement. I like that.
Yeah.
God.
It's absolutely crazy.
Get my assistant, have her issue a Facebook statement. I feel sometimes like, you know, in the past, there have been times when I just got off Facebook for a couple of days. You would not believe how many messages I get. Are you okay? Are you okay? Marie, are you okay? What's going on? Just working, you know, taking a break.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. And so I guess, you know, on my part, there's a little bit of a compulsion to say something, to goof around, to do my usual thing. But sometimes I'm just scrolling and thinking, oh, my God, I hate people. I really hate human beings.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And just the you know, to find factual information on Facebook is really difficult. Really difficult. Because if you click on things, and, you know, you realize just how much of it is spin and somebody's propaganda. And, oh my gosh, it's not a good source of news.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what do you?
Yeah, I think Twitter is, but
yeah,
okay,
it's like
so,
a fast pass. Yeah,
so
I'm
not bashing Facebook before Mark Zuckerberg comes
me,
after
care.
Me.
Yeah.
He'll join Church of Scientology and start harassing me. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to pivot because people are probably like, what the fuck? Do they
know
the show started yet?
No, we're just chatting, guys.
This is how the show's going to be, so just sit back
and relax.
This is just
the Tim and Marie, you know, drinking a beer, just chit-chatting. That's
exactly.
The show. Sorry.
Exactly. So what have you been looking at lately?
Well, here's the thing. So the paranormal community is just a joke.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And I'm
I love
not
going
to mince words. And the UFO, to me that embraces everything. Paranormal to me doesn't just mean ghosts, it's the whole community. There's so much insanity, and there's like a couple of handfuls of really great researchers and writers, you know them, I know them, who are continuing to just, you know, do what they've always been doing. And then you've got the showmen and the showwomen that I think have just driven it into the ground. I honestly, like a few years ago, I remember being on the show. We were talking about all the TV shows and how awful they were.
There's more and they're worse.
Yeah, I honestly didn't think the field could, you know, get any worse, but it has. And I think that's just mainly because there's nothing new.
Yeah.
There's no new research, there's no new theories, hypothesis being, you know, there's nothing. Everybody is still chasing ghosts with the same equipment they've been using, which never worked in the first place. It still shocks me when I'm on social networking and I see that groups are trying to get a quote-unquote TV show. The UFO community is imploding.
Yeah, have you been following this MUFON scandal?
Oh, listen, there's three UFO stories I've been following. So
okay.
MUFON, that one first.
Let's talk about the MUFON scandal.
Wow.
Because I was on Greg Bishop's show briefly on Sunday night
after
a few beers and talked about it, but I haven't talked about it on my show. It's absolutely just, I don't
Here's
even know where
thing.
To begin.
Yeah,
you had an affiliation with MUFON back in the day. So
I did. I ran, okay, so back in the late 80s through the 90s, I ran a MUFON group in Los Angeles. And then I moved back to San Diego, and I ran a group in the northern part of San Diego County. San Diego is so big, the county, that they had a group in the southern part. But nobody likes to go south or north. I mean, that's how big the county is. So I started a group with another gal named Laura. And this was kind of back at the time when the whole abduction phenomenon was really sort of exploding publicly. It had been going on for a while quietly, but it was just coming into the media and people were just starting to be aware of it. And we were having people come to us claiming to be abductees we didn't know what to do with. We were like, well, this is new to us.
Right, right.
And so at the time, you know, you had people like Bud Hopkins who was training other people to do hypnotic regression. We started working with Yvonne Smith. This was way, way, way long time ago. And we had some really interesting cases come through. I had a Men in Black encounter.
You
it
did?
Was really, yeah.
What
yeah,
happened? Tell me this story.
Nick Redfern, actually, the first time I ever revealed it was to Nick Redfern, who wrote about it in his Men in Black book.
Oh, I don't think I ever caught that.
Yeah, it was really weird. So
take a detour and tell this story because I've never heard this.
Yeah, so some of the abductees that were coming to us, you know, you could tell right away which ones were looking for publicity, which ones were attention whores.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of people, including a guy who I'm not saying his name. He actually became a good friend of mine, he and his wife, for a long time. That had more unusual cases that didn't have the typical hallmarks, you know, of the abductee cases. And again, we weren't quite sure what to do with them. So we were trying to ask for help with other MUFON groups, Center of UFO Studies, Fund for UFO Research. We were trying to get grants. All kinds of stuff was going on at the time. So when this one gentleman who became my friend, he and his wife became friends of mine, it involved a military installation here in San Diego, I will say that much. So when he started, I started meeting with him off-site, and he would come to the meetings, and we would, you know, we would go to lunch, and he would tell me the story, blah, blah, blah. So I started seeing these phone calls, and this is back before cell phones and back before caller ID, okay? This is about, this is back when we were still in the dinosaur era.
Yeah.
And the person calling me had a voice changer, so it sounded like a robotic person would ask me questions. And it was very intriguing because I was kind of ballsy. I don't get scared that easily.
Yeah, yeah. So wait a minute.
This is a
separate person. This is like a random stranger's calling you
totally
now.
Totally a separate person.
And what would
no
they say? What would they say? I'm getting creeped out.
Okay, so this guy would call me, and he would always call when my husband, I was married at the time, when my husband wasn't home. And he would tell me what I was wearing, what book was on my night table by the bed, even though I had all the blinds drawn. Things about my past that nobody knew.
Jesus.
So I'm engaging in conversation. I'm not really. And then he would ask about this guy, this abductee, and I would never give any information. And I kind of thought it was a little bit of a game at first. You know, I'm kind of like, oh, screw you. If you're going to play games with me, I'm going to play them right back.
Right.
But it got to the point where the other gal, Laura, that I ran MUFON with at the time, her house was being broken into.
Jesus.
She and her family were being followed. There were her husband, who owned a million guns, would find guys in, you know, dark clothing in on his property at night, and he'd chase after him with a shotgun, or, you know, there's all
holy
kinds of
shit.
Stuff going on. So she and I, so after this guy who was calling me started to really get kind of aggressive and really want to know more about the guy that we were, you know, trying to help, the abductee, and he was saying things, I know what you're doing right now, I know you're alone, there's nobody home, and I had just effing had it.
Yeah.
I just had it, and I'm tough. I really am tough as nails, but I felt like, you know what, this isn't worth it. So I had a talk with Laura, and she said, that's it, we need to just disband the group before somebody gets hurt.
Wow.
And we shut down the group. Everybody went their separate ways. She, her husband, and their kids upped and moved to Montana.
Wow.
To try to get away from, I have not heard from her since, and I never got another phone call or anything else. I never got harassed again until I wrote science, and then I got harassed by a whole different type of people.
Yeah, nerves.
But it was so unnerving to me because, like, if somebody was just calling me to ask me questions, I wouldn't care. But when somebody knows things about you, you start to realize my phone's tapped. There's probably cameras in my apartment, you know?
Yeah, that's just so
and,
fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, when you know, and I told my husband, and he looked all around, couldn't find anything, and he said, just don't answer the phone anymore. But no, I mean, I just said, that's it. I do have my limitations, and I'm not stupid. And I don't want this to continue. And she felt the same way, and we disbanded the group.
That's absolutely crazy. That I cannot... Wow. See, what I don't want to say love, but what I love about the story is that it's, I can trust you. I know you're not making this shit up just to give me some good radio material.
And I mean, yeah, Nick was the first person I ever told, and the only reason why I did is because he had asked me if I, you know, if I had ever had an experience in all my MUFON years, and I said, no. I said, well, I had a weird experience, but I don't think it would really qualify. And when I told him, he was like, that's very common. and it kind of sent a chill up my spine because I can be a bit of a bitch, but I felt like I knew I needed to cut things off before they got out of hand.
Yeah.
There was a real sense of foreboding whenever that I heard that voice. And I know this is totally, because you know me, I always try to err on the side of science. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I honestly felt like I was not talking to a human. I can't prove that.
Yeah,
you know,
well, it's like, how would they know all that shit? That's what I'm trying to figure. You know, part of me was like, I hate to be that guy, but, like, you obviously, it wasn't like your ex-husband, like, playing a joke on you or anything like that, right?
Oh,
like,
God,
how
no.
Would they, yeah.
Oh, God, no. It would like, be no.
Because I'm trying to, like, otherwise, how would they know all that shit? That's really
That's why
creepy.
I backed off. I figured if somebody knows that, you know, what is the next step? They're going to show up at my door, or they're going to follow me home at night, you know, going out to a club or whatever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't worth it.
Yeah. That is.
And
really
I literally did not go back. And at the time, and we were talking about MUFON. Well, at the time, MUFON really was a great organization that really emphasized, you know, knowing what you were doing.
Yeah.
And studying all of the different possibilities of something before you ever use the word alien. I mean, that wasn't even part of the lexicon.
Right, right.
I mean, we had, you know, the test was incredibly difficult. We had field training. We read Jane's Defense Weekly, and everybody tried to have a really well-rounded education because that's what MUFON was about. And I know that it kind of stayed that way for a while until, you know,
well, what do you
more
think
recently.
Of these recent events? Is it like, because to
is,
me,
well,
I mean, obviously the initial comments were reprehensible and everything, but I was more taken aback because I joked it initially that it was like, oh, an old racist white guy in MUFON, you know, I'm stunned, you know. But then it was like their response was so ham-fisted
exactly.
And
yeah.
And just completely insanely illogical and just offensive. Their response was offensive. So it was like, what the fuck kind of group is this? And now a lot of people are kind of waking up to it. So, I mean, I don't know. Was it just sounds like it's gone completely off the rails.
It is. Now, look, I believe in free speech. You can hate who you want. You can hate blacks. You can hate Mexicans. You can hate white people, whatever.
You can hate me. I don't
know. So, John, you know, obviously has some racial issues, and that's fine. That's his problem. That's for him to deal with. What I was really surprised at more than anything is that he, you know, one of the reasons why I post goofy stuff mainly on Facebook is because I have agents that, you know, will yell at me for religious or political.
Right, right.
And I used to get really pissed off about that. I said, no, I'm going to do what I want. But I understand that there is something called professionalism. And you could still be your playful, funny self. And sometimes I sneak political things in, but they're, you know, they're usually under the context of satire or whatever. And, but it took me a long time to understand that. I was really shocked at his total betrayal of professionalism. Dude. Put that crap in private, you know, in some
right.
private
yeah,
group.
Right, yeah,
you
yeah, yeah. It seems almost, yeah, like self. It's self-destructive.
Yeah.
It's like, it seemed
and
like he
then,
was picking, looking
then,
to, yeah, looking to stir up a major controversy.
And then the stuff about the demons. And look, I researched very heavily the possible misinterpretation of angels and demons in the Bible and how they might, I mean, aliens and demons. And I get that, but his second comments to Norio were, I don't know, you saw those.
I
too,
saw those.
He,
yeah, he said that
yeah,
his critics were
blaming,
demon-possessed.
Come on. It's one thing to go back and look at our history and wonder if our religious texts interchange the word alien or demon, you know, an alien. That's one thing. To blame your critics of being demons, that's just you not wanting to face your own crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in the fucked up part is, like, to follow through on how this thing's unfolded, it's like MUFON completely botched the job and put out a statement that essentially laid blame equally between John and the people who were speaking out against these comments. It was I don't have the sentence in front of me, but it was I said it will live in infamy. You know, it was something along the lines of where was it here? Let me see. MUFON said, who is worse, the person posting or the haters hating? That to me was like, that was so far.
Immature and juvenile.
Yeah, just, and that's putting it nicely. So it's like, I sent out I posted on Facebook on someone else's thing today. Some Denver Post columnist made a racist joke on Twitter, a joke in quotes. It was a racist joke. It wasn't like anything like what John had posted. And the Denver Post fired the guy like the next day. And it was like, so, I mean, only fucking MUFON, 50 years and no answer to the UFO question. Only MUFON, you know, there is spinning their wheels in every sense of the word. You know, it's like they're
bad leaders,
you know, incompetent to the very end.
Yeah, that really surprised me. And I know, I used to toy with the idea a few years ago. It's like, oh, I really miss being in a MUFON group. And then I'd read about all the internal politics and BS going on. And I know that there are some really high quality people. Trust me, there are some. I mean, Chase, you know, Klotsky comes to mind and a few others. But I was just shocked when I saw how they tried to ride both sides of the fence. And you can't do that. You know, if somebody is representing your organization and they screw up like that, they need to go. Or at the very least, they need to, you know, issue some kind of an apology and then shut the hell up for a while.
Exactly.
And like you said, it was like MUFON was, they were trying to play both sides of the fence. And it came out like, oh, people, you just, all the years of credibility, you know, what credibility you had left just went down the toilet.
Yeah, it's and then to put a bow on it, because you know there's a lot of people to blame in this situation in a way, because it's like then MUFON now they said they have expunged him from the organization. There's a lot of controversy over whether that's true or not. Well, time will tell. But a lot of people are like, you know, okay, all set. You know, dust your hands off. Oh, we won. And it's like, did you not see what MUFON posted, like, in response to this? Did you not see how they reacted? Like, it's not done, dude. It's far from fucking done. It's like, this group needs an enema, man. That's really it.
That's what I hear, you know, and this isn't the first time. I mean, I think a lot of what made MUFON such a great organization and the one that you could turn to for structure, because in the entire paranormal community, whether it's, you know, people who are interested in the ghost aspect or UFOs or whatever, there's very little structure. And they had it. They had the testing and they had the field training. And I don't know. I mean, I really can't speak from experience when that started to sort of fade away. It could have been a few years ago. It could have been 10 years ago. But now it almost seems like there are loose cannons everywhere speaking for the group, and there's no real strong central structure that makes the rules and says, you know what, we have certain code of ethics and behavior that we expect from our members because that's what makes us so professional. There was none of that. So I'm glad I'm not in the group anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, that's the fucked up part because, you know, like you were saying, it would be cool to be a part of a functioning, decent UFO organization that was national, but certainly not fucking MUFON, you know? It's not...
Yeah, maybe this will be a blessing in disguise and make them get their shit together, you know? I mean, sometimes they have to sort of implode from within to see where the problems are. And I know that there are a lot, and I am not bagging on the local groups. There's probably a
so
professional and play by the books and, you know, take what they do very seriously. But when your leadership is screwed up, it's kind of like, oh, man, what an embarrassment.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're being misled by the very definition of the word. So it's really, it's unfortunate, you know. It really is.
And I think this, too, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me on this one, it's a cult of celebrity, too, in a lot of these groups where a handful of people become the stars.
Yeah.
And they, you know, when they fall hard. And then, and another one that I'd like to bring up that I was shocked. Oh, actually, I wasn't that shocked. I knew he'd end up going to prison with Sean David Morton.
Yes, yes, Sean David Morton.
Oh, I'm like, listen.
Is this the other one of the other stories you're following? Sean David Morton?
Well, here's why. I met him before he was famous. Okay, I met him and had the opportunity, I think I was in L.A. at the time, to just, you know, spend time in his presence when he was basically nothing but a very ambitious sort of UFO research guy, okay?
Really? When was this?
Yeah. Oh, a long time ago.
Like in the 80s.
It was, yeah, it was quite a while ago. He was just starting out.
Nice.
And I remember, because I was in MUFON for quite a while, I remember as the years passed, we would joke about what is Sean's new gimmick for this year to get him attention.
Yeah.
Oh, now he's claiming to be this. Oh, now he's, you know, claiming this. And now he's all of a sudden a preacher or whatever. I mean, he went through so many different gimmicks. And I remember after a while just being so pissed off that he was amassing tons of money and followers and people who listened to him. And yet there were great researchers out there who couldn't get their books read. And, you know, and it just really frustrated me.
Right.
So, yeah, he definitely was kind of a con man.
Even back then. In waiting, yeah. Or in training or something. Yeah.
Well, I guess I saw something today that said that he bilked a ton of money out of people.
Yeah, well, he's looking at 87 months in prison, I guess. That's what they're recommending. So
yeah,
we'll find out next month.
Know,
that's like 7 years.
Who knows? I mean, he may have his reasons, and he may be innocent, but...
Well, no, he's been convicted of whatever they...
Of fraud before, yeah.
No, but he... I don't know if you...
Wasn't he?
If you have the latest. He was convicted, like, in April of a whole bunch of shit, and he's getting sentenced in June, and they're recommending a 75-month sentence.
Oh, okay.
So he's got about 2 weeks till he's supposed to go to jail. But
yeah.
I don't know. With it, we're kind of like placing bets on whether or not he's going to like flee the country or something. Yeah.
Go to Brazil.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he would do well in prison. I don't know if he would go to like one of those white collar prisons or what.
Yeah, it's just wild. Craziness. And I mean, you know, then and on the ghost end, you've got just all the idiots that are still literally claiming that every house that is over 50 years old or abandoned is haunted.
Yeah.
Golly, come on, people. Or every single ghost, ghost and apparition is really a demon. And you got to call in the demonologists and the exorcists who are self-trained, please.
Yeah.
When did all this happen? You know, everybody's a freaking demonologist now.
Well, I think we talked about this before, where it's like they've wrung all the water out of the ghost sponge, so there's nothing else.
Yeah.
They can't really. It's a weird field. I mean, I don't follow the field as much as I should, not nearly as close as I do ufology. But it seems like there's still all these ghost hunting shows and shit, and it's like. It's just a weird ecosystem.
New.
Like you were saying before about ufology and celebrities and shit. It's like there's the same ecosystem for this ghost field where there's like these celebrities.
Yeah, it doesn't change. At least in ufology, there is some forward momentum, some mystery, you know, I mean, at least there are still things that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, we can still have more disclosure. We can have big cases that, you know, have tons of witnesses, really good, solid, legitimate cases, not just lights that somebody put up on YouTube. There's still those possibilities. I think with ghosts and that side of the coin, we've slammed up against a wall, and we don't know the science of this. We don't know the science of why these things happen.
Yeah.
And nobody's really, in my opinion, looking in the right places. So.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I agree with that. Yeah. Well, it's Yeah, well, there's no, like, equivalent to a UFO landing on the White House lawn for, like, a ghost, you know? Because we've seen,
you know,
I mean, I've seen a million crazy ghost videos that,
yeah,
you know.
How do you know they didn't, you know, Photoshop and
exactly.
CGI and all this stuff? And that's the thing, is that in this day and age, everybody's got their cameras with them and they're taking pictures of every little light in the sky and every orb or whatever. And you would think that it would bring us closer to the truth, but it just seems to be throwing more crap in the middle that you know, the professional people need to dig through. But here's something, Tim.
Yeah.
This fascinates me. So I'll talk about the third UFO thing that I thought was amazing, but I want to ask this of you first because I love to ask people this question.
Oh, nice. Okay.
If a UFO landed on the White House lawn and aliens got out and said, you know, we're here, we're not bad, we're here, we want to, you know, work with you guys, would you think the public would buy into it? What do you think the public reaction to that would be?
Take our leader.
Well, aside from this, here's what bothers me about that whole scenario. I would say probably 40% of people would say it's a conspiracy, the government's behind it, it's not real, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking about this scenario. So what would...
maybe even more.
So what would the reaction be if one landed on the White House lawn?
Okay, if it were televised and, like, nobody could get anywhere near the, like, quarantine the whole area.
Right, like a movie, like you'd expect to see in a movie, yeah.
Right. The conspiracy theories would be flying. It's a you know, the government is just enacting this whole thing. It's meant, you know, there's no aliens, it's them. That's why you can't get close. That's why it's all televised. There's no reporters on the
screen. Yeah. There'd be a huge new conspiracy culture, like, surrounding the aliens and the alien disclosure. Absolutely, yeah. So it's...
But I'm even thinking, even if you were allowed to see it, how many people would then go and question what they saw and who was behind it? And the reason why I like to ask this question is because, you know, the whole disclosure thing to me has so many different scenarios that could play out.
Yeah.
And none of them do not involve complete anarchy on the part of the public. You know, they all involve the public going crazy. Right?
Well... I think. I've tried to come up with scenarios where they could pull it off, where it wouldn't, like, freak everybody out. Like, I think if they I feel like they're setting us up to find something out there, like a worm or something. So that'll be, like, one thing, you know what I mean? Where
yeah.
It's like, okay,
it
now it's possible.
Yeah.
Then I think they could also do one of these things where they're like, holy shit, the rover on Mars found it is a face. It is a face, but don't worry, they're all dead because they're not here anymore, but they were around, so wrap your minds around that for a generation, and then we're going to tell you that they're actually still coming around.
Don't you think that a big chunk of a segment of society would start slipping out because asking, you know, do they believe in God and Jesus, or are they Muslims, or are they Republicans? I mean, I cannot see any scenario in which the public doesn't tear itself apart. When they win the Stanley Cup or the World Series.
That's why you got to go with the they're all dead move, because then people can't be like, we need to convert them to Christianity. It's like, dude, I'm sorry, they died. So you can pray for them, but they're dead. You know, so that, like I said,
say they're not dead. We're being lied to.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But we call those people crazy. we say, oh, what are you crazy? No, they're dead, dude. Look, they sent the rover to the ruins, and there's no one there, man. You know, and you know, like I said, the sucky part though.
They're gone. They left.
Yeah, like the really annoying part in a way is like, you know, it's humbling. Look, you know, we've been talking for a decade, and we still don't know any answers to any of this shit. And it's like,
we don't. Yeah.
That's why I think this is such a slow burn, that they may just drop something like that on us, and you and I are going to go to the next level of existence or whatever, and never actually get to see any interaction with whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is such a slow burn, it feels like.
Yeah.
that.
What do you think the entertainment, and because this drives me nuts when people say this, and I do know that, that it can happen, that, you know, you hear people say, well, the entertainment industry is being used to slowly reveal the truth. But I'm in the entertainment industry. I write stuff for TV and film, and you write what you like and what excites you. Nobody's telling me or anybody else specifically, get this UFO information out. Now, I do know that that
right.
has happened in the past, but I think that that's such a broad stroke statement that plays into, you know, the conspiracy theory of every movie you see has some truth to it. No, I mean, you know, The Last Starfighter was just a fun movie.
Right, right.
But this really bothers me because playing into the third UFO story, that this Bigelow guy.
We haven't got to this one yet, yeah?
Yeah, you know, the big billionaire Robert Bigelow.
Oh, wow, you are up on, because the guys
yeah.
in the chat room are like, ask her about Robert Bigelow. I'm like.
I mean, okay, so he's convinced they're here. Well, you know, a lot of real high-profile figures have said things like that, and, you know, I guess he has inside information and has the money to find out. So, I don't know. He has, yeah, they're developing stuff to send people out in space. I don't want to go out in space. I'm sorry.
You don't want, oh, I hate to break it to you, right? I said this to somebody else before, too. We're not, it's on the same lines as, like, seeing the aliens and shit. I hate to break it to you, Marie, but I'm pretty sure you and I aren't going to fucking space.
I don't want to.
Your kid might get to go, but we're not going to space.
Yeah.
There's just not enough time. There's just not enough time, dude.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to perfect what they're doing. But anyway, he claims that they've come to Earth, that there's existing extraterrestrials here. But, you know, it's funny because if you read the actual story and the actual stuff he says, he's not saying, oh, I went out to dinner with him last night.
That's what
I believe, yeah.
I posted that on Facebook moments before the show started because somebody was, my friend Jeff Ritzman was criticizing, was saying the E.T. hypothesis. He's like, I don't care what Bigelow says, the E.T. hypothesis is bullshit. And it's like, and I said, in fairness to Bigelow, he seemed like he was really careful with his words in that interview. And I think if you go back and look, it's like, He didn't babble on like a lunatic like you'd expect a UFO buff to do. You know what
no,
I mean?
He
He's
didn't.
Not like Tom DeLonge. He didn't pull a Tom DeLonge.
Oh, the rock star guy. What's up with that? That one I haven't been following close enough. He's got, what does he claim? He has some big disclosure information and he's worried somebody's going to kill him or something?
I don't think he's worried someone's going
right
to kill
guy?
Him. Yeah. But he says he has, he's trying to dig into the UFO truth. A lot of people think he's being used for a disinformation campaign, but I only really kind of scratched the surface of that story because it sounds like a much ado about nothing, much like
well,
most
Well, and
of
that's
these,
the other thing.
Well, that, like, to get back to the, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, how do you know any of these people haven't been fed information, false information, true, whatever? Now, Robert Bigelow, obviously, he's got the money and the power to say whatever he wants, but when I first saw it, just like you, I was like, ooh. And then when I read the actual interview, it was like, oh,
yeah,
it's not really saying much. But the reaction to it on Facebook was as if he sat and had lunch with the reptilians.
Well, that was the frustrating part, in a sense. It's like, to me, I didn't understand. It's like 60 Minutes. This is like national news. You've got this multimillionaire like guy who's invested a ton of money, millions and millions, he said, in this thing, and he's certain that it's real. And it's like, you don't fuck like, dude. It's cool you're designing inflatable space shit, but let's
yeah.
get back to the fucking millions and millions of dollars you put into finding out about UFOs and tell us what
right.
you know. It's like, what kind of fucking journalists are you, dude? You know that should have been the story. They buried the lead. So
yeah,
to me, it
crazy.
Was like, and he, I said, if you read what he said, I feel like he said presence. To me, the word presence stood out, that he was trying to like, that it's more than just aliens, that it's more than just like the standard shit. You know what I mean? It seemed to me
yeah.
like he said,
like maybe they're involved in government, you know, the high parts of society and everything. But he never got specific. That's the problem.
Right, right. Yeah.
Other people were getting specific for him. So.
Yeah, and it was like, the question I have is like, was that, like, why? Why didn't he get specific? You know what I mean? Like, why didn't he get specific? I have no idea. He could go in a million directions there with that. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, two reasons, Tim. Either he doesn't really know, and he was just stating that he thinks they're real like a lot of us do.
Right,
you
theatrics.
Know? Or he knows, and he, you know, it's not information that the public would handle quite well, or he was told to, you know, to keep his mouth shut. I mean, I think those are the only two reasons why, and it, same thing goes with disclosure. You know, either the government knows everything and it's bad, either the government knows everything and they're working with them, or either the government doesn't know anything. Now, all three of those scenarios really suck.
Right, right. Well, for all the people,
for us as the public,
for all the people who were like clamoring for disclosure and like hang their hat on this, on that interview and everything, it's, if you go back and look at some of the stuff he said in the past, he's not a proponent of disclosure. He says he's a proponent of confirmation, which is a different sort of idea in a lot of ways. And if you look at what he said in that interview, that's what he was doing.
Yeah,
he was confirming that this shit's real. He didn't go, hey, this shit's real. He said he confirmed it in a way that it's like, I guess you have to take his word for it, but, you know, somebody needs to ask, like, I don't know. I feel like you just can't drop shit like that out there and not.
No, I'm sure that people now are like, could we have a follow-up interview?
Right,
clarify
right.
a couple of things. Yeah, that was trippy. And then there was another one I found, too, but I did not read the whole thing yet because I found it, like, right before we talked. The Rendlesham Forest incident, which I always felt was one of the most legitimate and had, you know, so many witnesses that were credibility up the yin-yang. Well, apparently now Peter Robbins revealed that he believes former U.S. Airman Larry Warren's account of the incident near RAF Bentwaters in Suffolk in 1990 was not true. So
yeah,
that's
what
all
I
that I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to look into that because I remember Jenny Randall, who I think is a consummate researcher. I remember reading all her books about Bentwaters and everything that happened there. And you know, and then for years it felt like it held a lot of its credibility over the years. So now when you hear something like that, you start to wonder about every case, all of the cases that we think have really contributed to the little knowledge that we have today.
Yeah.
You know, are they all just a complete sham? Is everybody lying, or is it, you know, everything bullshit? And then it's like, now we're back to square one. We're starting over. Talk about disclosure. Now we're back to square one. I truly believe that they exist. I mean, my father was a scientist. He was a geophysicist. He believed that they exist, that, you know, extraterrestrial civilizations existed just by the sheer number of planets and now parallel universes and that are out there. It would be incredibly foolish to think otherwise, but, you know, they don't have to be human, and not, they don't even have to be reptilian. They can be amoebas.
Yeah.
But it's, what is it, it's 2017, and we still don't have really valid proof? Something's up. So either there's really nothing to go on, or there is the most incredible cover-up, and we have to figure out what little stuff is trickling out.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something going on, but it's like the, we just, we, you know, the UFO field is like a day late and a dollar short. Like, all the time.
Well, and then they start to,
you know,
they get bring religion and, you know, this sort of they're going to save us aspect into it, which I see no proof of.
Right.
We're facing some of the biggest challenges as a species that we ever have since we started walking on this planet. Well, first of all, where are they? Second of all, why on earth would they want to save us? You know, why? I don't understand. I think that they maybe want to observe us, kind of the way we do with animals out in the wild. They want to study or learn what we're like, but I don't know that they're the cops that are out to save us. And
yeah,
if they
yeah.
are, well, it's just, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm an atheist, borderline agnostic. I waver between the two. And I, you know, I don't want to get into a religious discussion, but I have those similar thoughts about, well, if there's a God who's going to save us, he's a little late, you know.
Right.
But I don't see evidence of alien interference unless they're assholes.
Yeah,
or
that's
they're just
true.
Idiots. They're
yeah,
not really
or just
saving
cold,
the planet.
Like, or they're on, or they're like sociopathic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that they don't, they treat us the same way we treat like animals and shit.
Yeah, that's true. Like
you
I
know?
Love that TV series V, you know, where you had all the wealthy and powerful people that were in collusion with the reptiles. That I could see that happening, but I don't know.
Yeah, that was a good show.
So you and I have both just decided that there's really no valid proof of anything either way, and yet there are people out there that are insisting they know the truth. And
well, of course.
That's
well,
I mean.
Yeah. Well, it irritates me because it's like just then just, I talked about this with Adam Davies last week in a sense where it was like these people who say they cohabitate with Bigfoot. It's like, dude, you can, all more power to you. Like that you can cohabitate with Bigfoot and shit. Just do the world a favor and take a fucking picture of it once. You know, once.
I see the greatest reality show. Me and Bigfoot. Oh, my God.
They should do a show like that, yeah.
That
the fucking
would be hilarious.
Person who says they live with Bigfoot, and then they go out and leave
yep.
little bowls of food for them and shit, and the Bigfoot never shows up, and they just,
yep.
you know, it's like a completely
Bigfoot
one-sided
toilet seat up.
Conversation. Yeah. That's a great idea. I should do that as a YouTube series.
Let's do it. Well, that's one of the reasons why I actually am moving more towards fictional things, because, you know, you can have fun. You can have more fun with the possibilities, and, you know, in nonfiction, obviously, you're sort of stuck in certain parameters.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy because the realities that we're seeing around us are stranger than fiction. I mean, I am just so disgusted with these shows about, you know, we're going to go hunt and shoot Bigfoot. Really? Really? Why? Why would you do that? You know, what is what's the point of that?
Well, that's like such a tough guy thing too, where it's like, I'd like to see you encounter Bigfoot and then shoot it. You know,
well, why do you
I don't think they've ever.
Isn't there a show literally called Killing Bigfoot? I think there is,
yeah.
And it caused a bunch of controversies. It's like, really?
I would love to know. Yeah, there's a lot of these.
That.
If anyone can tell me the exact. We have Lauren Coleman on next week. He'll know exactly how many of these fucking shows there are. There's got to be like six
yeah.
to eight of them now.
Some of them die off, and then they bring in even more stupid ones, like ghost hunting chefs. You know, they're going to find the ghost and then they're going to
cook
for
yeah.
them,
this is,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they've, like, they're doing demographic. Yeah, they're doing these demographic ghost hunting shows that just seem so transparent. And it's like, I think they have a gay ghost hunters one now. I know they have a black ghost hunters
they
one.
They have
now.
A black one, yep,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They need a Mexican one.
Yeah, for sure.
And I have Mexican relatives, so I can say that.
I know. I was worried. Yeah. Hey, I'm all for all ghost hunter shows, folks. Don't
That's
get
right.
on my case. What I'm saying is it's
we,
insanely
yep,
transparent. It's like you're just reaching for any idea for a show you can come
you?
Up with.
You do not discriminate according to race or creed.
Exactly.
But, oh,
exactly.
Good heavens. So now you can kind of see why, you know, I'm kind of burn out on all of it, and I keep saying I'm never going to write another nonfiction book, and of course, I have two coming out this year, and then I have one next year, but the one next year is it's about natural and man-made disasters and how to survive them.
Yeah.
Because I'm trained and all that stuff, and I thought, you know, it'd be really cool to write a book that's really comprehensive, an emergency survival manual. And I'm having a lot of fun with that because I'm sick of running into people who don't have a clue what to do in an emergency, and they end up risking not their own just their own life, but yours too. So
yeah.
That has nothing to do with the archetype book I have coming out in July is more, I don't want to say metaphysical, but it really kind of came about from my watching The Walking Dead and trying to figure out why the show is so successful.
Yeah.
And realizing that, like, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, these really successful movies and TV shows have archetypal characters. And, you know, I don't know if it's forced on the part of the writers or it just happens naturally, but once you see it, it's like you can't unsee it.
Is this like the Joseph Campbell type stuff?
Yeah, you know, there's these universal symbolic characters that show up that we... The reason why a show like The Walking Dead, for example, is so successful is because each one of those characters represents a different archetype, a different universal symbolic character, the hero, the anti-hero, the villain, the you know, innocent, the warrior, the goddess. All, you could just go through the whole show and pinpoint those characters, and we really respond to those. So that's not really paranormal. The Demon book, on the other hand, was really mind-blowing because I was asked to write a huge, almost encyclopedic book on the history of the devil and demons. So I got to go back to their origins, which really have nothing to do with the paranormal, and, you know, how over time all those concepts became what. So when I go online now and I see people arguing over stupid things in the paranormal, and I'm thinking, you don't even know the origin of that concept.
Yeah.
How are you calling something a demon or this or that, or, you know, using this word evil when you have not even researched the origin of those concepts?
Well, tell me a little bit about the origin of these concepts so people can educate themselves a tad.
Basically, and I mean, the book is gigantic. It's,
I'm sure.
I think it's like 450, but it's the biggest.
Jesus.
It's a different publisher. It's Visible Ink Press, and their books are like twice as long as the books I normally write. So I literally cover everything about demons, the devil, fallen angels that is possible to cover.
Wow.
All the way up to modern times, modern Satanism and, you know, everything. But one of the things I really am obsessed with is trying to find the origins of things, and especially words, because if you go back and look at how words and phrases originate, you can often get incredible clues that point to what they are. And the concepts of evil came from the very first humans being on a planet where some things seemed to benefit them and some didn't. And they, you know, found a way to describe the things that benefited them, like finding prey, food,
yeah,
or shelter. And the things that scared them that they didn't understand, like hurricanes and earthquakes, and they were bad. And we began to label and we began to categorize. Thus was born duality, good and evil. And that's where it all began. And then I really traced through all the different religions and, you know, historical eras, civilization, to see how we got to where we are today, where everything is Christianized. You know, demons are Christianized and fallen angels are interchanged with this and that and the other thing. And then you have the jinn, and it just, it's so mind-boggling. But the truth of the matter is it all came from primitive man trying to figure out nature. That's it.
Interesting.
That's the bottom line.
Interesting. But it took on a life of its own. It's like a literal sort of tulpa in a sense.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know,
and then
people get mad when people mention it. That's a complete it's like mind over matter,
yeah,
or some shit. You know, it's like it's conjuring.
Well, that's such a later attachment on the concepts, and I'm going to get a lot of shit for writing this book. My job was to be objective, and I am. There's a whole chapter in there about modern Satanism. Now, I know a lot of Satanists. I have known a lot of men from the Church of Satan. Don't ask me why. When I wrote, it's weird. When I wrote Science, I started to get approached by guys from the Church of Satan or Satanic Temple, blah, blah, blah. And they're not what you think. they don't kill babies and have blood sacrifices, you know. And I talk about that. There'll be a lot of people that get pissed off at people. But I have been around these people, and they love, they're big believers in science, which I think is why they liked my book, Science. But one of the most interesting things was to really find out that that whole section of society that does, you know, kill and do all that, those are extremists. Well, guess what? We have extreme Christians. We have extremist Muslims. We have extremist Jews. There's even extremist Buddhists. Come on. But they're not, they don't represent true Satanism. Now, if I say that to someone just sitting down having lunch in a conversation, they're going to think I'm nuts.
Yeah.
But it is the reality. When you look at the history of how everything developed, it's pretty amazing. And then I go through the whole, you know, the witch burnings and the Inquisitions, and just show how over time the devil became this, that, or this other thing, when really it was just a representation of that.
Yeah. It's interesting, yeah.
Quick announcement for two of Greendale's finest. Payday is postponed until next week, so this is my freestyle rap apology.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Well, I'm a peanut bar, and I'm here to say your checks will arrive on another day. Another day, another dime, another rhyme, another dollar. Another stuffed shirt with another white collar. Criminals, Wall Street, taking the pie, and all the black man gets is a plate of white lies. Prisons recruiting them, police be shooting them. Rap artists looting them, labels all diluting them. Barack Obama be scared of me, because I don't swallow knowledge, and I spit it for free. Let me clear my throat. Ha, ha, ha. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was.